Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 3. Hebrews, chapter 3. We'll read verses 4 through 8 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Hebrews, chapter 3, verses 4 through 8. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 4 through 8. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, and let's finish on verse 8 together, ready? Harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness. And let's pray, Father, again, thank you, Lord. Today in our church, I'm sure we've seen more happen just in one day than many churches get to see in a year. You're so good to us. Father, you've spoiled us. It's obvious you enjoy being here and we enjoy being here. Father, please fill our preacher with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen. Change our hearts and our lives, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
I'm going to read three passages of Scripture to you. The sermon tonight is called, If Ye Will Hear His Voice. If ye will hear his voice. Hebrews 3:7 says, Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if ye will hear his voice. In Hebrews 3:15 it says, While it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. Then again, in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 7, it says again, He limiteth a certain day, saying in David, Today, after so long a time, as it is said, Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Here, God is telling us the great importance of hearing the voice of God. Now, our ears are important to us. We have a ministry to our deaf people. Oh, what a challenge it must be to live in this life without the ability to hear. Now, our ears are important to us. They're important to us physically. We have to be able to hear. They say that the inner ear will affect you. It will affect your balance. If you have an ear infection, it can affect your balance and the ability to stand up and to stabilize yourself. But let me tell you something. Your spiritual hearing, if you get an infection in your spiritual ear, it will affect your balance in your Christian life. It'll keep you from standing the way you're supposed to stand. Our hearing helps to keep us safe. Our hearing helps us to be encouraged, if you will. Our ears are important to us physically and they're important to us spiritually. God tells us that we need to hear right. I enjoy being a preacher. I enjoy being a teacher. But did you know that a teacher can teach right and a teacher can teach well? And if the student is not listening, the student can fail. The material can be given, the truth can be given, but if the person that is to be receiving is not receiving well, not receiving right, there's going to be failure somewhere along the way. You know, some sit in church and they don't hear very well, and it's not a volume problem. It's not a volume problem. If it is, it's not the volume of the voice. If someone has the volume, the receiving end turned down. I was preaching in Morgantown, West Virginia many years ago. We'd been out soul winning. I was preaching a revival service and we'd gone out soul winning that afternoon, inviting some people to come back to the church service that night. I had won seven or eight people to Christ. I had some people promise me they were going to come back that night. We were at a mobile home park. I went to the very last door, knocked on the door. I was witnessing to someone. I gave them the gospel. I gave them 4 points in regard to salvation. I asked them if they'd like to trust Christ as Savior. I led them in the sinner's prayer. They prayed out loud and asked Jesus to come into their heart and save them. And then I said to them, listen, I'd really like for you to come to the church tonight. Well, that night, the church service started. I was looking around at the 8 or 9 people that were supposed to come back that night and people that I had won to Christ, and there were not any of them there, and I was so disappointed. I preached that night, gave the invitation, some people came forward, and in the invitation came forward a young man by the name of Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson came forward, and the preacher asked him, said, well, Michael, what are you coming for? He said, I got saved this afternoon. And the preacher said, Michael, where'd you get saved? He said, out at the mobile home park. Well, I'd never met Michael before in my life. And the preacher said, well, how did you get saved? He said, that fellow right there on the platform told me about Jesus. Well, he was talking about me. Well, I'd never met Michael before. I didn't know Michael at all. And so Michael, the preacher said, that man right there, our guest speaker, he said, that guy right there told me about Jesus. And Michael told this story very quickly. He had come forward to make his salvation public. He said, Brother Owens was witnessing to somebody at the mobile home. I was behind the hedge in a garage working on a car. I could hear every word that he said. I listened to everything that he said. And when he gave the sinner's prayer to those people at that door, he said, I prayed it. He said, so I prayed. And then when he told those people, now the first thing you ought to do now is come to church tonight, and you ought to come and make your salvation public and get baptized. He said, that's why I came. That's why I came down the aisle. That's why I'm here to get baptized. He said, I could hear him loud and clear. Well, I am so pleased with that. Here's somebody that's over the river and through the woods, and they can hear loud and clear, and I can have people sit on the front row of the church and not hear a thing that I say. Isn't that amazing? But he heard, and his ears were receptive to Jesus Christ. Hey, folks, let me tell you something. Oh, the listening and the way we listen, it's so important. I make you a promise. I realize that we've had some extra activity tonight. If you'll just pay close attention, I'll get us out of here early. I'll even get you out of here a little bit early. But let me talk to you about this thought tonight. If ye will hear his voice. Oh, do we need to listen to God and listen in the preaching of the Word of God and listen to what God has for us here in church. Let me talk to you about some of the way that people hear. The way they hear in church, for instance, we can all be guilty of some of this. How about those that are forgetful in regard to their hearing? The forgetful. Hebrews 12:5 says, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. Hey, we so easily forget. Some only hear the preaching for the moment. Some wrongly think that they're to hear the sermon only at the time that it's being preached. To some, when the sermon's done, it's done completely with them as well. Some walk out of church and close at the close of the service, leaving behind everything that they just heard. Can I tell you all something, folks? We ought to be asking God to help us to retain what we are learning. That's how you grow in the Lord. You are hearing the preaching of the Word of God, and you ought to want to retain it. You ought to want to take it home with you. Hearing God's Word is more important than going to a presidential debate. There are people in here, you listen to something that the President of the United States said this week, which was not the Word of God. You've remembered it well and you've discussed it all week long, but you can't remember a lick that was said Wednesday night at the church service. We are to retain the preaching of the Word of God. Most can't remember on Monday that what was preached on Sunday. We ought to work at that. Now, this morning, I preached a sermon called Don't Burn Your Barrel. Now, it may be a little easier to remember than others, but I'll tell you something, folks. Tomorrow, we ought to remember the sermon, Don't Burn Your Barrel. And on Tuesday, we ought to remember the sermon, Don't Burn Your Barrel. Hey, that sermon was not just a moment of entertainment for the Sunday morning church service. It was a truth that could revolutionize our lives all week long, all month long. Hey, it's something we could take with us and live in our lives from here on out. Hey, don't be a forgetful hearer. Secondly, sometimes people hear the man instead of the God of the man. Sometimes people hear the man instead of the God of the man. 2 Samuel 16:23, it says, "And the counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was as if a man had inquired at the oracle of God." In other words, at this time, Ahithophel was in submission to God. And what he said, it says, when you talk to him, when Ahithophel spoke, it was as if it says, as if a man had inquired at the oracle of God. I mean, that's how close everything was to being exactly what God wanted people to hear. Hey, listen, if a preacher does not believe that God's word is inspired, then he's just a voice crying in the wilderness. But if the Bible, and if the Bible's not inspired, just preach whatever you want to preach. But hey, look, if the Bible is God's inspired book, you better listen to what the preacher says. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." Hey, I believe this book is an inspired book. Hey, and now you may say that preacher up there, he's preaching his sermon. I believe I'm preaching God's sermon. I believe in God's book. And I believe, why in the world did God choose preachers? If everything that the man of God says is all man, then why did God even choose preachers? He chose preachers to be delivery boys of the message of God. And that's the preacher's job. So be careful now. Don't be a forgetful hearer. Be careful now. Don't listen to the man, but listen to the God of the man as God uses the man to deliver the truth to you. Let me say this also. Number three. Some people hear what they like, but they don't hear what they don't like. There's certain things they like to hear. They'll hear that. And there are other things they don't like to hear. And they don't want to hear that. Isaiah chapter 30, verse number 10 says, "Which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things." What do they mean by smooth things? Things that we like. You know, smooth things. Give me what I want to hear. There are some here, you only want me to preach doctrine. And when then I preach something that is practical Christian living, you reject it. You just reject it. Then there are some who you want that practical part of it. And when we preach doctrine, you're just bored stiff out of your mind. You don't want that. Why? You want to hear what you want to hear. Well, we're going to need the doctrines of the Bible taught, and then we're going to need the practical aspect of Christian living. We need both. But people say, well, I don't like that. That when you get to teaching on doctrine, that's a little bit boring to me. I turn you off. You better turn that on. You need the doctrines of the Bible. You need to understand the doctrines of the Bible. And there are some, though, all you want is that practical. Hey, well, I believe the doctrines of the Bible are practical. But let me tell you, we need both. We need practical everyday instruction on how to live our lives and the doctrines of the Bible. Hey, some only want uplifting sermons. They don't like it when I preach against sin. All they want me to do is say, you can do it, you can make it, you can take it. And when I preach those, you set up and you say, ha, this is one of those that I really like. Then I get up and preach on sin and you say, come on, encourage us. Make us laugh. Come on, make us believe we can do it. I'm going to tell you something. You need the encouraging sermons. You also need the sermon that will kick your tail around and tell you to get on the ball and get your life straightened out. You need both. But these people, they were saying, give us what's smooth. Give us what we like. Give us that is easy for us. Somewhat salvation preached. And that's all. Preach salvation. Preach salvation. Preach salvation. Preach salvation. But wait a minute. Are we not supposed to also preach sermons that grow people? So if the preacher's not preaching salvation, they turn you off. But then there are others that say, don't be preaching on that salvation all the time. Grow us, grow us, grow us. Look, folks, we're to be preaching on salvation and preaching on growing. We're to be preaching encouraging sermons, and we're to be preaching sermons that will discourage you from your sin. We're to be preaching doctrine, but wait a minute. We're to preach everyday practical truths that help us to live our lives. And there are people that only listen to the things they like. Hey, when do you turn the preacher off? What is it that you have determined not smooth to your hearing? You see, we are to listen, and in the book of Hebrews, he said over and over again, if ye will hear his voice. How am I going to do it? Don't be a forgetful hearer. Don't be one that hears the man instead of hearing the God of the man. Make sure that when you hear, you're not just listening to the smooth parts, but you listen to the balance of the preaching of the Word of God. Number four, there are those that want to hear something new. They want to hear something new. Proverbs 23:10 says, remove not the old landmarks. Now, you can't improve on the old time gospel, folks. You just can't. You can't improve on it. And this is where a lot of false doctrine comes from. Preachers become bored with the old. I want you to know, it is a challenge to preach the same old thing over and over and over again and doctor it up and try to help it so that people stay interested. But folks, I have no choice. I can't rewrite the Bible. We don't need to rewrite it. We just need to reread it. And I can't, hey, if I start coming up with some pie in the sky, a new twist off of what the Bible says, we'll end up off track. We need to stay on the old path and the old time ways. We don't need something new. We just need to stay excited about the old, and that may take a little bit of character, but that's where false doctrine comes from. Oh, preachers, they become bored with the old, and the listeners become bored with the old. You've got to understand something. The same old doctrines that have been preached for years are to be the same old doctrines that are still being preached. The same old truths are to, we're just to keep on preaching it. You say, but I've heard it 100 times. But remember this, somebody here is hearing it for the first time. And it does not matter how many times you've heard it. You need to be reminded of it. You need to be reminded of it. So let's make sure that we're not hearers that have itching ears. Hearers that are dissatisfied with the same old thing. But we realize that this is God's plan. And that we don't try to seek after something new. But we find ourselves satisfied and exalting God's same old truth. I'll tell you something. Be careful now. When sheep hop from pasture to pasture, they never grow fat in the Lord. You don't be a church hopper, and we don't have a lot of that goes on around here. But let me tell you something. You be careful. You lock in. You know, there are some people, they say, I'm getting a little bored with my Christianity. Listen, if you're bored with your Christianity, it's not Christianity's fault. It's you. It's you. It's you. Now, number five, how are we to hear? There are those that hear, but only for others. They hear, but only for others. And I'm not talking about because you're lovey-dovey and you care about everybody else. I'm talking about you hear, but all the time you're listening, you're saying, well, that's good for him. Well, that's good. Oh, I'm so glad my wife's here. I hope she's listening. Shut up, kids! Shut up and listen! Uh-huh. You hear for everyone else. Matthew chapter 7, verse 3, 4, and 5, it says, and why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Here the Bible's talking about how we can quickly see what's wrong with other people, but we're pretty slow to figure out that God was talking to us. For some, a sermon, you have to understand, a sermon is not a picture, it's a mirror. The average person looks at a sermon as a picture. Wow, didn't he paint a beautiful picture tonight? I wasn't painting a picture. I was showing you a mirror so you could look at yourself. A picture, not for your entertainment. This is not a museum. It's a hospital. And I wasn't giving you sugar pills. I was giving you antibiotics. We look at it and say, wow, I like what he said tonight. Wow, wasn't that good? It wasn't all about the wow. It was all about the mirror. And you looked at it and said, you know what? I got a mess on my face. I'm out of order. I need to get me straightened out. There are men here, you're very good at hearing for your wife. You are sitting on the edge of your seat. Oh, she's getting this. Oh, get her, preacher! Get her! You're only saying that on the inside. You don't say it on the outside because you get one of those elbow deals. No sense in having bruised ribs. Yeah, get her. Woo! There are wives, you just love it when I tear into the men. In your own little submissive way, you're having a Pentecostal fit on the inside. Woo! Get him,
getting.
Tell him, preacher. We're really good at listening for other people. We can listen for our friends. And brothers can listen for brothers. And sisters listen for sisters. We even listen for the world. I'm throwing a fit about how wicked the world is, and we're all saying, amen, amen. And you're doing the very same thing they're doing in the world. Yeah, oh, nasty world. Plug, let's get the world. Won't you come out of the world then? We'll listen for the sinner. We're just waiting for other people to get right with God. I wonder how many people God intended for you to get right with God, but you were so busy looking throughout the congregation, figuring out who those sermons were for, you missed it! Because it was for you. It was for you. How about it's for you? Those who hear best for others. You see, there are a lot of ways that we hear the Word of God. Sometimes we're forgetful hearers. Sometimes we hear the man instead of the God of the man. Sometimes we hear, but we only listen to the smooth things, the things that we want. Sometimes we want to hear something new, and we're not satisfied with hearing the same old thing that God wrote. There are those that hear, but they only hear well for other people. I think there are those who enjoy how it's said more than what is said. There are those that enjoy how it's said more than what is said. Now, let me tell you, all you young preacher boys, and we got a big old handful of preachers around here, I think you need to work at your ability to speak. I think you ought to work at it. I think you ought to know how to stand in front of a group of people. I think you ought to know how to talk. I think you ought to know how to illustrate. I think you ought to know how to teach. I think you ought to know how to handle yourself in front of a crowd. But let me say to everybody here that the way it's said is not as important as what is said. In Exodus chapter 4, verse 10, it says, "And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither hitherto, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant. I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue." Moses was fearful about representing God because he knew he was not eloquent. He said, "I am slow of speech and I have a slow tongue." Moses was worried about the way he would sound when he talked. But God said, "Moses, I'm not worried about the way you sound when you talk. All I'm concerned with is my confidence in what I know you will say." And that was God's concern. You know, some people are more attracted to the drama than to the doctrine. If some TV preacher has humor and you like it, you'll listen to his heresy. Eloquence does not equal purity. Performance does not equal truth. Pretty flowers can be poisonous. Smooth talkers can be very doctrinally deceptive. They mask what they believe. Folks, nobody walks away from this church wondering what Brother Owens believes. I am not trying to mask in a pretty picture of words the doctrines of the Bible. I want people to understand where we stand. I want people to understand what we believe. I'm not trying to be like a snake slithering through the grass, trying to trick a bunch of people. I'm not trying to trick people into my church. I want them to know the truth. Now, I'm not trying to be rude, and I'm not trying to be curt, but, you know, we pretty well just throw it out there. Now, you be careful that you are not more interested in how it's being said than what is being said. Be a hearer that looks for the truth. Then, what's another error in our hearing? Number 7, those who are unprepared in their hearing. Those who are unprepared in their hearing. 2 Chronicles 30 verse 19 says that perverteth his heart to seek. I'm sorry. 2 Chronicles 30 verse 19 says that prepareth his heart to seek God, the Lord God of his fathers, though he be not cleansed according to the purification of the sanctuary. He's talking about somebody that prepared their heart to seek God. I think that the congregation would expect their pastor to come to the pulpit prepared to speak. Prepared to speak. Did you know that the pastor expects the congregation to come to the services prepared to hear? That's why if you're texting right now, you're speaking. You were supposed to be prepared to hear while I was prepared to speak. prepared. Do you know the people that get the most out of the services are the ones that prepared their heart to get something out of the services? You come to church straight, and I'll tell you this, if you come to church straight from work and you're still mad at the world, you're going to probably have a hard time with church for at least the first part of it. You might want to park your car out in the parking lot before you get here on a Wednesday night and calm down and chill out and say, you know what, I'm not going amongst enemies. Prepare your heart. We need to prepare our minds and prepare our hearts. Prepared hearts are soft hearts. Prepared hearts are submissive hearts. Prepared hearts are hungry hearts. Prepared hearts come needy. And so let's make sure we prepare our hearts. We need to prepare to listen well. Number 8, there are those who hear only to find fault. Only to find fault. Mark chapter 7, verse 2 and 3, it says, and when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashed hands, they found fault. Now, what happened here? Some Pharisees noticed that some of the disciples did not wash their hands before they ate. In this scripture, they're throwing a fit over this thing, probably a little thing, and a bit they are nitpickers, making a mountain out of a molehill. Do you know that there are some people that sit on the edge of their seat listening for one word they don't like in a sermon so they can scrap the whole thing? Scrap the whole thing. You ever heard of throwing the baby out with the wash? Some hope that some virtually hope the preacher will make a mistake. They're gunning for him. They're just sitting there saying, you know what? I'm building a case in my mind. And if I can just hear one thing, just one thing, I can add that to my case. Some are feeding a bitter spirit and are gathering wood for the fire. You know, even in some churches, now, not in ours, some are wanting to start a church war and they're gathering ammo. I've watched it happen in churches. People just sitting out there just drawing a list, trying to do everything they can because they want to start a war and they're going to figure out how to do it. And they're going to make sure they have everything logged that they didn't like over the last 5 years of some preachers preaching. Now, thank God we don't do that here, but let me warn you, it does happen. Those who hear only to find fault. Only to find fault. So, how do we hear? How do we hear? We can be forgetful hearers. How do we hear? We can hear the man instead of the God of the man. How do we hear? We want to hear the smooth things, so we reject the others. How do we hear? We want to hear something new, and the old does not satisfy us. How do we hear? We hear not for ourselves, but we're listening for everybody else. And rather than taking care of our own situation, we're investigating everybody else. How do we hear? We listen more to how it's said than the truth and what is being said. How do we hear? We hear with unprepared hearts. How do we hear? We hear only to find fault. I think there are those that hear but never change. They hear but never change. Ezekiel 33, verse 31, it says, and they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people. And they hear thy words, but they will not do them. Those who have heard the most should be doing the best? Those that have heard the most should be doing the best, but that is often not the case. There are new Christians in this church that have been here less than a year that are doing more for God than some that have been here for 20 years. Why is that so? Because somebody just got here is excited about the things of the Lord. The rest of us, it becomes commonplace for us. It becomes old hat. And did you know that if the preacher's preaching the truth and you're not doing it, it doesn't make it the preacher's fault that you're not doing what you're supposed to do? You wouldn't believe all the trouble I get into for the way you behave. Yes, sir. I have people come in and tell, well, so-and-so, would preacher do something about it? I did. I told him not to do it. I told him it was stupid. Huh? Did you know you don't come to church to merely learn the Bible? You come to church to learn to live the Bible. For some of you, you got an educated brain, but you got a backslidden character. You know the Bible, but you don't live it. You don't know anything about it. To whom much is given, much is required. The sermon is not just to be heard, it's to be lived. Some of us are just gathering and gathering and gathering and gathering. You're not just to gather information at church. You're to gather information to live. Did you know the Bible is not a book just to be memorized? It's a book to be lived. That's the difference in a church like ours than a lot of those liberal churches out there. They'll get up and say all sorts of things, and they all walk away saying, boy, isn't the Bible a good book? Did you know the Bible is a good book, and we are to be a good people that live the good book? We're not just to examine it, look at it, read it. We are to live it. We are to live it. So be careful now. Be careful that you hear and change. Because there are many that hear that don't change. Then there are those who hear, but they're lost. They hear, but they're lost. Hebrews 4:2 says, "For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them." Huh. Did you know, if you're lost, you're not going to grow in the Lord. You have to be in the Lord to grow in the Lord. You may grow religiously, but you're not growing in Christ. If you're not born again, you need to get saved so you can truly, truly grow in the Lord. If you're not saved, you say, "But I'm learning all sorts of things and my life is changing." You're religious. But there's a difference in being religious and being saved. You need to be born again. Did you know that maybe you're a little bit like a dandelion? A dandelion looks like a flower, but it's actually a weed. Just how somebody could be sitting in this auditorium right now and you say, "I look like everybody else." Looking like everybody else does not mean you're saved. You must be born again. You've got to trust Christ. You say, "But boy, I've changed a lot of things about my life and things are going better." Okay, but wonder if you had a relatively good life and you died and went to hell, wouldn't it all be in vain? Get born again. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, get saved. And then the growth that you're wanting to experience will be in Christ, not in yourself. You need to get born again. And you've heard me say this before, and I say it every once in a while. You know, the Bible calls God's people sheep. You have the sheep of God's pasture, and then you have the wolves of the world. Let me warn you, if you're not saved, you're not a sheep. And which could mean that you're a wolf. Did you know what wolves usually do? They eat sheep. You need to get saved so you don't hurt the church. You need to get saved so you don't hurt the other Christians around the church. Because eventually wolves attack sheep. And so let's make sure that when we're hearing the word of God, we're receiving it because we're born again or we're saved. I have one more I want to give you and then we'll be done. Let me say this. There are those that hear as a secondary purpose for coming to church. They hear the word of God, but the hearing of the word of God is their secondary concern in coming to church. Let me read to you John chapter 6, verse 26 and 27. Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled." You know what Jesus said? You don't want me. You want me to give you some bread. You seen me physically feed some people. Let me ask you a question. Do you come to church for Jesus? And I would say tonight, probably one of the biggest sins in this Sunday night crowd is if you're not careful, you've come to church for the wrong reason. Not a bad reason, just not the primary reason. You ought to be here tonight for Jesus Christ. For Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus said, "You didn't come to be with me. You came because I had some bread." Hey, and listen, we like to feed people and we're glad for people to come and get some bread. But let me tell you all something. We all need to grow up and realize we're to be in church on Sunday night because that's where Jesus wants us and we're to do it for him. Serve God. Why? Because of God. Listen, there's some, you're here tonight. And truthfully, somewhere on your list of reasons to be here is Jesus, but he's not at the top of your list. There's some of you, you came more so because you wanted to be with a friend. Now, I'm glad you're here. But I have to tell you, you better get Jesus on the top of your list. Because, and how do we know that? Well, if your friend doesn't come to church, you don't come to church. You came to be with a friend. You ought to come to be with the ultimate friend. And what a friend we have in Jesus. Some came because your parents made you. I have appointments with the young people that graduate from high school, whether they be public school or Christian school. I try to meet with them in their senior year because I'd like to give them a little advice about launching into life. And one of the things I've said a lot to our graduating seniors in recent days, I've been telling them, you better make sure that all the things that you believe them because you believe them, not just because you lived in mom and dad's house, not just because you went to the Christian school, because I'm going to tell you what happens. If the only reason you do what you do is because mom and dad made you, and if the truth of the Bible has not become your truth, if you've not attached yourself to the doctrine and to the church for yourself, you'll end up backslidden and away from God, because God is a God that is personal, even to a high school senior. You better make the truth of the Bible your truth and God your God. And you better make soul winning something that you're supposed to do. And I'm telling you, there are people that come to church because their parents made them. Their parents made them. Oh, you're here though, and I'm glad. But let me tell you, you better put Jesus at the top of your list. You say, I don't like old so-and-so down at the church. Do you like Jesus? Answer that question. Do you like Jesus? Well, I don't want to come to church because of old so-and-so. Do you like Jesus? Did you let anything stop you from getting to where Jesus is? Some people came to see the auditorium. You know, there are people come say, I want to go see the decorations. I want to go out there. I've driven by that church time and time again. I want to drive out there and see what I want to see just inside that auditorium. Now, I'm glad that people come see our auditorium. Do you realize, folks, how many people come to this church that they're what we would call gawkers? They just heard about us. They didn't come to see Jesus. They come to see the wild preacher. They came to see if we are as excited as what everybody says. Now listen, I'm glad that they came, but I'm going to tell you something. Everybody here ought to transfer to the top of your list that I came for Jesus. I came to church tonight for Jesus. Hey, children that go to King's Kids, I'm glad that you went to King's Kids. I'm glad that Brother McLean had some fun over there with you. But let me tell you, bottom line is, you come to church on Sunday night to be with Jesus. Those of you that were here for the youth program tonight with Brother Marsh and Young Fundamentalists, I'm glad you say it was fun. We were with our friends and I'm glad, but come to be with Jesus. And there are adults that you come and you fellowship among yourselves, and I'm glad that you do and I want you to. But let me tell you something. If there was no fellowship, if you had no one that you thought was a close comrade, come to be with Jesus. That's why we're here. He's the ultimate purpose of it all. It's His Word. It's His church. We're here for Jesus. And if you will keep yourself in line with that, you'll be all right. You'll be all right. Some come to sell their wares. Folks, you're going to find people are going to hop all over the place to every church in the country until they sell everything they want to sell, and then they move on to some other church in the county. They come, hey, there are people that will come here with Jesus as a secondary. It's a secondary purpose. You be careful. There are people that will come here to chase after our women. I'll guarantee it. There are men that will come here because they see the purity. They see the sweetness of our women. They'll come in here. Some of you ladies, don't be fooled by that. Don't you let some wolf drag you off into the wilderness. They'll come in here chasing. Hey, you men, there's some of them that will come in here after our men. Not many of you, but they'll come after you. Because our men are decent and hardworking. Our men are clean. Some just come out of habit. Those of you that are here habitually, thank God that you formed a habit. But let me tell you something. Why don't you come to hear the preaching? Because you want Jesus glorified in your life. In Hebrews, over and over again, he used the words, if ye will hear his voice. That's what I want. I want to hear the voice of God. Those things that I brought out tonight will keep us from hearing His voice. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight, you're unsaved. Why don't you come and let us take the Bible and show you how to be born again? If you're here tonight, you've been saved and never made it public, you come. If you need to be baptized, you come. There are some, God has spoken to your heart. Hey, maybe somebody this morning in the sermon where we said, don't burn the barrel. Your faith has wavered. You need to come to this altar tonight and just tell God you're placing your faith back in Him. You'll obey God. There's somebody here tonight in the preaching. Something's happened in you. Something's happened to where you're not getting what you should out of the sermons. What's happened? Oh my, let's make sure that we do what we do to glorify the God of the book. And let's make sure that He stays at the top of our list. And He's the purpose. He's the reason for the preaching. And He's the reason we should listen. If you need the altar will be open. I ask the instrumentalists to begin to...